Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call. Happens to be Tuesday, September 19th, 2023. We're almost into fall, and we're into the Hebraic year 5784, which I think is a very exciting year. Hopefully, you do as well. We're going to have another teaching tonight from Dr. Mosley here in just a couple of moments. But before that, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Mark Biner. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Elohim, our Heavenly Creator, in the name of Jesus, we come before you to give thanks and praise for your love, blessings, grace, mercy, protection, and the justice that is being poured out upon this land. Be with us as we press on to do great things together. Strengthen us with the fire of the courage of conviction we originally had when we were awakened to our individual callings. Send us healing energy that invigorates us with the frequency of life. Guard your prophets that are among us and glorify the works you give to them for our benefit. Help us to be useful and reliable to you as we experience the unfolding of your plan. We lift up our leaders that you give divine providence to and ask for unity of your people to prevail over this land. Help us to guard against false doctrine and easy solutions to complex problems. Assist us in separating ourselves from the Babylonian system, Father, for you are God and there is no other. God save the children, God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, and the nation of Israel. God save our presence. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and thank you, Father.
All right. Amen. Yes, amen. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, real quick, I'm going to run through the roll. And then we'll get started with our teaching tonight. Representative Rockwell is present tonight. And Representative Reed, you with us?
Nebraska State Representative Doug Reed is present. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Representative Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
All right. Thank you, sir. Representative Binder.
Representative Mark Binder is present. Thank you.
All right, and Representative Cox, you with us tonight?
Yes, Representative Robin Cox is present. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. It looks like we've got five representatives for tonight representing five states, and I'm going to go ahead and yield the floor to Dr. Mosley to get our Laws of Life teaching going for tonight. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The systems of the world versus the systems of the kingdom of God, and how the laws of life apply to each. We have had some fairly extensive discussion regarding the economic system of the world and how it compares with the kingdom of God's economic system. Nextly, we did somewhat of a study on the social arena, that is, the social system of the world, and how it compares to the social system of the kingdom of God and how the laws of life apply in that situation. And we move to the political system of the world as compared to that of the kingdom of God and how the laws of life apply. Keeping in mind that we do not consider ourselves having exhausted any one or more of the three systems that I just mentioned, because we will from time to time continue to go back to the economic system, the social system, the political system, because there's so much there that we did touch upon, but there's much more that we had not merely scratched the surface. But this evening, we want to talk, share with you from the educational system of the world as compared to the educational system of the kingdom of God. We want to first begin to say that the educational system of the world is that system which ushers us into the various other systems of the world. I'm going to say that again. The educational system of the world is that system which is used to usher us into the other worldly systems. And I'm going to try to make reference to a few examples, some of which I perceive most of us can relate. And as we go along, I'm going to suggest that you do not have to wait until the end of our teaching tonight to interject. But if something comes to your mind with respect to how the educational system thrust us from an early age on into the educational system of the world. Now, some of the examples I'm going to use, perhaps you would relate to right away. There may be some other examples that you may have a question concerning, but let's give this a try and see whether or not it jogs the memory of any of us with respect to these two systems and how, in particular, the educational system of the world has indoctrinated us into the various other systems of the world and how diametrically opposed they are to the system of the kingdom of God. How many of us on the call remember piggy banks? And I would not suggest that a piggy bank in and of itself represents a worldly approach to money or finances. But nevertheless, it can and could, if that piggy bank is to represent security, and that our faith is to be in that which we hold in our physical hands, and teaching us that at an early age, the piggy bank. Now, maybe none of you have had access, if any, maybe just a few of you are familiar with play money. I know when I was growing up, you could go to the 5 and 10 store and get a pack of play dollars. And my question, is this another way that the worldly educational system indoctrinated us, or endeavors to indoctrinate us, into faith being in physical currency? What even about savings bonds? Does that represent the world's economic system, or is it somewhat neutral, that it depends upon the attitude of the person, whether or not that person is putting their confidence in the savings bond, or their confidence in the fact that God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? There's a question mark. Now, when I was in school and even in college, there was no such thing as a debit card for college students. But most students now, even on the college, well, on the high school level, maybe even lower, to have debit cards, because it introduces you to the system of charging and the credit system, which we're going to touch upon in a minute. I just mentioned that the credit system of the world, it starts early now. Much of it, I remember, maybe some of you on the call can remember when, well, first of all, when I was growing up, we didn't have a checking account in my family. There were five of us. I was the youngest. And this is the way financial transactions were handled in those days. I'm talking in the mid-1940s, early 1950s. I was born in the 1940s. My mother went on, my father got paid once a week on Tuesdays. He worked in a coal mine in Birmingham, Alabama. And when I became old enough to drive, I would take my mother around to each of her creditors, like each of the family's creditors. And she would pay a bill. And the owner of the establishment had a little book, and they would keep note of what was paid and what, if anything, was owed. Now, if there was a creditor that was not in walking or driving distance, then I took my mother to the post office. And she would purchase money orders, postal money orders, fill them out at the post office, put them in a stamped envelope, and send them off. And that's the economic system that we had at that time, and maybe some of you on the call can relate to that system. I'm not at all suggesting that that is a worldly system, and maybe that's a system that many would be better off if we could follow today. I would follow it today, but that was the primarily the credit system, groceries, neighborhood grocery stores. The owner or the clerk of that grocery store kept a little book. And you would come in, and my mother, I would walk in with, and sometimes my dad, because he worked pretty much around, not around the clock, but he worked a shift that didn't allow him to have much daytime opportunity to be out and about. But in those days, my mother would just go into the grocery store, pick out what she wanted. They knew about first name. And they would add it up, and she would sign on the book, and she would just walk out with the groceries. Again, I'm not at all suggesting that that system, the reason I'm pointing this system, that system out, is because that system was a debt-free kind of a system, and primarily. There was limited debt carried on the books of the proprietor, but it was most times it was cleared the next week or the next payday, and there were no banks at all involved as middlemen. Okay, let's move on. What about student loans? Is that a way young people are being indoctrinated into the worldly system of credit? Another way the educational system has indoctrinated most of us is as it relates to the stock market, as relates to the Social Security Administration and the procedures therein and thereof, the world system. Now, again, as I point this out, I'm not at all suggesting that all of this is negative. Some have some positive aspects, but what I'm trying and endeavoring to do tonight is to cause us to know that the world educational system is a system that primarily introduced us to these various other systems, including but not limited to the economic system, retirement systems, disability systems, life insurance, burial insurance, mortgages. Oh, I can recall a time in Birmingham or in the Deep South, a person who wanted a home or desired a home, they would save enough money and save, and sometimes that was savings under the mattress. I'm not saying that's wise, but nevertheless, that's where some of it was handled. And they would save enough money to buy a plot of land. And the male of the house, along with his other male friends who had some skills by way of construction, they would buy what was necessary by way of material. They would lay the footers for the foundation, and they would build that house from the ground. And when the house was finished, there would be no mortgage. There would be nobody owed as a result of that construction. So then, what are your thoughts concerning the economic and the educational system and how it has indoctrinated us to the economic system of the world? Again, not suggesting that everything I mentioned is negative, because some of it is worthwhile. And perhaps we'd be better off if we were to follow that procedure today, if possible. But are there any thoughts, any additions, any question anybody has as to the fact as to whether or not we have been ushered into the economic system primarily by the systems of the world? Any thoughts, any comments, any questions at this point before we move to the social system?
Yeah,
and
Dr.
touch
Mosley,
on that again.
Yes, I yes, had a quick comment as you were talking, and interesting. how you grew up. I know I'm a little bit younger than you are, but the house that I live in was built around that same time, a little bit older than what you are, by quite a bit, actually. But I was looking at an article saying in the 1930s, the beginning of the 30s, to build a house, it cost about $1,700 to build a house, get it all set to live in.
Yeah.
And so that's probably an average price, I'm going to say, for the house that we live in, and it's about a little bit older than 1930s. But if you were to go out and buy the same house that I live in today, it's worth $450,000. What has changed? The walls haven't changed. The studs inside the walls, electrical, the plumbing hasn't really changed over those years. What's changed?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the point that you were driving at as far as we're tied into that particular system. So I'll yield with that.
Well, thank you for those comments, because it fits right into what we were trying to convey. Anybody else? The economic system. Now, we're driven into the worldly system based upon the economic system of the world and how it carries over into all these other systems. Well, if not, let's go over to the social system. And we've had some discussion concerning the social system. But tonight, what we're endeavoring to do is to see how this educational system indoctrinated us to doing that which most of us do now in the social system. Growing up, the world system teaches you how to make friends. And there are ways that people who are indoctrinated in the world system, they have suggestions as to how you make friends. You have little giveaways, you have parties, things of that nature to, for all practical purposes, buy friends, just in an indirect way. How to make friends in the neighborhood, how to make friends at school, how to join certain groups in order to make more friends, how to make a decision as to socially, which is going to be the better college or university to attend. What fraternities or sororities that you should affiliate yourself with. And certainly in this day and age, social media. And how to use social media to garner up as many quote-unquote friends and to be boastful about the fact that I have thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, following me on social media. Where did that concept come from? Is it from the kingdom of God? Or is it from the world's educational system that assisted in promoting many of these things that we just mentioned? And for us to rush to become a part of it and be looked upon almost as being an outcast if you're not a part of it. Any thoughts, any comments about the social system and how the educational system has lured us, lured so many, I should say, into the social system?
This is Representative Mark Binder. May I have the floor? I just wanted to talk about the indoctrination of gathering together and doing everything as a group. That's the education system's very much been doing that, and they've been indoctrinating us not to think for ourselves. If you think for yourself and you express that view, depending whether it's in a university or whether it's in a school or something, oftentimes you are thought about as being a castaway or somebody that doesn't fit, you know, a round hole in a square peg, that type of a thing. because you're thinking on your own and you're thinking outside the box. And some people are not comfortable doing that anymore because they've been thinking group thinking for such a long time, and that's a very dangerous thing to get into. Because if that's the case, they can convince you most anything as a group, and you'll just follow the group, and that's not a good thing to do. And I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else want to add to that, ask any questions, concerns? Because what we're endeavoring to do is for us to reflect on that which we do as the body of Christ, whether or not it's based upon us having been indoctrinated into a system that is not necessarily consistent with the system of the kingdom of God, the political system. I remember in high school, this is back in the 1960s, when we had a campaign at school, because it was a presidential election that year. And the educational system of the school that I was in, they wanted us to become very familiar with the political process. So we had our own election, school-wide, all the classes in the school, for them to vote on who was going to be the most popular. I forgot what was most popular, some other designation at that time. And it was a major event that we had because it was introducing us to the political process. And really it was more of a popularity contest because it wasn't about the most astute student, the student with the best grades, the student with the better attitude, or the student that represented the as a model student for that particular school, but it was all about popularity. And the whole school was involved, and the administration was involved, because the attitude there was, it was teaching us, buying through the educational system, how to function in the political system of the world. Any comments there about the political system and how the educational system has indoctrinated us one way or another as to how that system is to be utilized and what we are to do and how we are to be actively a part of the world aspect of that system? I remember...
This is Representative Mark Biner. May I have the floor? I just wanted to talk about, like you were talking about indoctrinating of the political system, there are a lot of teachers that want to express their view in the classroom, and their view is the right view, and everybody else's view is the wrong view. And that's another dangerous thing to do. Also, the concept is being taught that everything is related to one another, and that's also false in education, because you need to have the truth, and then you need to have everything else. So not everything is all related, and you need to get your facts and stand in the truth is the best I can say. And it's really sad that a lot of our children that have been sent to these institutions, whether it be grade school or intermediate college or high school, they have to get indoctrinated with the professor to get a good grade sometimes. You know, other views are not appreciated, and that's sad. And also Bible teaching and prayer taken out of school in the 1960s is a very bad thing in the school system, and leads to political problems as well. And I yield. Thank you.
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I please have the floor? I was just, while Dr. Mosley was talking about ways of thinking and socializing and things, he mentioned something about thinking as a group. And I just got to thinking, remember that George Orwell wrote a book called 1984. And in that book, they indoctrinated people and told them how to think. And they had such a comment as groupthink. Do you remember that book, anyone? I think.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
Yep.
We're more, a lot of aspects of our government are more Orwellian than we want to admit. But this is, that book was a prophetic book. And this is what we're starting to turn into these days. I yield.
Well, I want to thank each of you for your comments. And as we go along, comments such as you're bringing tonight are always welcome. And it makes each of us more thoughtful with respect to the subject matter that we are sharing, because it causes us to dig a little deeper into our recollection and how these various systems, and especially how the educational system, has influenced, and even more so now, how it is influencing the students, and not just the students, but oftentimes the parents of the students, because many of us, and not referring to people on this call, but many are so indoctrinated in the world system, you're almost an outcast. If you think any other way, or if you speak in a way differently than the world expects you to think or speak. I'm a little bit off course when I make mention of this, and some of you, I'm sure, can recall. I remember in elementary school and high school, school opened at 8 o'clock, and we had to be in our seats by 8:15. Of course, we had to line up and march in an orderly fashion, properly dressed for school. And we had devotions every morning, 15-minute devotional period. I'm getting over into the religious area now. 15-minute devotional. And we had scripture read. We pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And we sang. We sing spiritual songs. And I can remember occasions when you could hear the classes, you hear the singing from classroom to classroom. And I remember occasions where the teachers would break out in tears because the Spirit of God was so prevalent at the time that those little young boys were singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, so forth and so on. And it was almost as though, and it was a common effect. And the teachers did not have to go around and try to force kids to be quiet and attentive. The school was quiet and not sedate, but it was a calm and a peace that permeated that school the entire school day. And that's what we're missing in the schools today. And I got a little ahead of myself, but you all, Representative Cox and some of the others, have brought to my attention how it was in those days. What we're missing now, and they wonder why we're having the difficulties that we're having today. And they don't connect the dots between giving God the honor in our educational system, which the kingdom system requires, and the secular system that so many now are indoctrinated by. And we look at what is taking place in today's world. And there's so much more to talk about in this particular area. We just scratched the surface on this evening, but there's much more to talk about. But with what we've shared thus far, Mr. Speaker, I yield.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mosley, for that. Always good, and good input from everybody as well. Does anybody have any comments or questions of Dr. Mosley, what he expounded on towards the end there?
Does Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please?
Yep, you had the floor.
Now, a lot of that there, I actually go back to 1933 when the Frankfurt School of Marxism came over to the United States and infiltrated the government, the entire educational system, the entertainment industry, the news media industry, and they even infiltrated the you know, some of the bigger churches and stuff like that, and it started incorporating Marxist ideology. And that's what this, you know, like Orwellian stuff is rooted, really rooted in Marxism. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize, and they start getting the brainwashing going on. And of course, another thing is there, you're erasing the Christian heritage of this country, and start doing smear campaigns against the founding fathers. And with that, I yield the floor.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anybody else?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I have another comment. Thank you. I don't know how many of you have listened to the watched the movie God's Not Dead and God's Not Dead 2. And in that movie, God's Not Dead, there was a young student that was in entering a philosophy class by an atheist teacher. And the teacher went so far as to say that if you don't go along with my philosophy or my atheism, you're just not going to pass the class. And this one student, he had the guts to stand up and defend why it proved that God exists. And that just shows us that in the educational system, we're often indoctrinated to not believe in God. Lots of the kids that go into college and stuff, they go in Christians and turn out atheists. That's really a terrible thing. I yield.
All right, thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Representative David Schmidt. I'm going to go on up to God's Not Dead too. That was her one high school teacher that there. She happened at there in one class that she was in. She just happened, happened to get into a discussion. Just happened to bring up, you know, Jesus Christ. I happened to bring that up in it there, talked a little bit about that there, and then all of a sudden, the school board in that there decided, oh, they want to fire her. And then, of course, another thing is there, and then one student's parents decided to sue the school in that, and then it was a matter of coming down to came down to the jury selection, and unfortunately one unexpected juror, you'll see it at the end, but one unexpected juror came to the rescue when it came down to the final vote. And with that, I yield.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Anybody have any closing comments for tonight?
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, otherwise, I think it was in the last week, the de facto governor of Colorado signed into a law that would effectually ban gas-powered lawnmowers in the state of Colorado. With that, a yield.
Anybody else?
This is Representative Mark Finer. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. Last session, a representative named David Schmidt asked us a question. He wanted to know he said if Congress was stood up, if the Republic was stood up, and what would be the first thing that you would want to see the Republic Congress do as a representative? You know, what legislation or act would you want to see happen? I've been thinking a lot about that, and I got a response to that. I would say my response is to reinstate the original 11th, 12th, and 13th Amendments, especially the 13th Amendment, because this would cause all the bar card carrying attorneys to stop practicing law under the legal system where their allegiance is to, number one, the crown, Number two, the de facto for-profit courts. And number three, then, to the people. And so that would get the bar and its representatives out of the courts of America without any, in short order, let's say. And I'd say, furthermore, only constitutional common law courts, lawyers, and education should prevail in America. And all educational institutions, public and private, should be required to teach only common law and the law of nations classes. And all lawyers should take an oath to uphold the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land under the Holy Bible, and an oath to the nation of America superseding all other oaths to other nations or law forms antithetical to America and the common law, which is God's law. So, and if one refused to do that, they would either have a couple choices. They could, if they would refuse to take an oath of their own free will, they could either leave America or be excommunicated from any and all practice, consulting, education, participation, and free talking where law is, or fee taking, I'm sorry, where law is concerned. And that's what our founding fathers were trying to do before the War of 1812. And in my opinion, I think we should carry that on, because that's the only way we're going to get common law, constitutional courts, and that's the only way we're going to get justice in courtrooms, both by and for the people, because as representatives, we're supposed to be protecting the rights of the people. And I yield with that. Other thoughts from other people would be we appreciate it. I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
This is Representative David Schmidt with Carthel Hoare.
Yes, you have the floor.
And to Representative Binder, I think that's a great idea for getting started. And with that, a yield.
Anybody else?
This is Representative Mark Binder. I've got something else to bring, too.
All right, you have the floor.
All right. Well, I think when we do transition back and we are stood up, there are some things that have progressed since the 1860s as far as transportation and stuff. And I know Justice Waters was talking about that. He wanted to, he said he needed, in the judiciary, he needed laws to go with the transportation to help protect the rights of the people. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. And so I wrote some notes about that to get it started. So I think the Congress needs to help the judiciary out and pass legislation to make their job of maintaining laws and orders in this nation easier. I think we should look at enacting legislation to make the transportation industry accountable for the safety of the people as it serves, with punishments for negligence, health violations, and unnecessary safety risks. I would say this is not intended to police the transportation industry or the vehicle, airline, train manufacturers with regulations, rather to serve we the people when injuries occur, or to prevent injuries, and to vehemently discourage corporations from allowing abusive common sense practices from getting a free pass in common law courts, and therefore putting the people at risk in the name of making a greater profit. So I would ask, this should include faulty design, faulty engineering, faulty materials, faulty manufacturing, and faulty safety implementation on the transportation industry, as well as faulty training of employees and staff in all phases of transportation process. So, and I would close by saying the right to travel today should include the right to travel safely beyond a reasonable doubt for this day and age. And that's what I have brought so far. You might want to think about that, and any comments would be appreciated. I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I have a little comment about education. First of all, we need to reinstate prayer and Bible reading and praying in the name of Jesus in the schools. And we also need to get rid of the federal education department and have all education be at the city, state, and local levels, and have the parents get input into their child's education, and that if a principal isn't doing a good job for the students, the parents have a right to vote him out. I yield.
All right, thank you.
Second.
Anybody else?
Yes, Representative David Schmidt requested the floor, please.
Yes, you have the floor.
But otherwise, there's an organization that's called Moms for Liberty that is also working to hold schools accountable. They're focusing on a lot of the distribution of sexually explicit and pornographic materials in the schools. It is one of their areas. And, you know, trying to get that stuff thrown out, get that garbage out of there. And it's moms, and then F-O-R, then liberty.org. And we've got one in our county in Wisconsin, Polk County. We've got a chapter there that's working on that right now. And website that's worth checking out. And with that, I yield the floor.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. If not, I would definitely entertain a motion to adjourn tonight if somebody would like to do that.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I move that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene on Tuesday night, October 3rd at 8 p.m. Central Time. I yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt seconding the motion to adjourn.
All right, thank you very much. We've got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight and reconvene on the 3rd of October, and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And is there anybody opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight. And before we leave, does somebody want to close us in prayer tonight?
This is Representative Mark Finder. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. O Sovereign Lord, holy and true, creator of heaven and of earth, and all that is seen and unseen, we lift up our praise and due diligence to you, that it may be pleasing to you and productive in your plan to save our republic and nation. Bestow upon us your divine wisdom so that we can carry on with our tasks, the unifying spirit, and restore America and its people to be once again a righteous city on a hill, a Christian nation, the land of liberty. We need you more than ever, Father, to move in a mighty way to bring equal justice all across this land, justice based on the law of nature and nature's God, not precedents and the traditions of men in an almighty courtroom, admiralty courtroom, sorry. Help us to reach more of your children, Father, during this time of transition to military power, whereupon you have opened a door to take the corporation out of America, to make it possible for we the people to reestablish lawful republic governance and all that is needed to sustain liberty and justice throughout your land. Protect us, lead us, and guide us, Father, so we can honor your holy name. In Yeshua's name we pray. God save the republic. Amen, and thank you, Father.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Happy night, everybody.
Be blessed.